All right. Hello, welcome to Error Correction for Dragon Quest Pass races. I almost canceled this talk because I'm recovering from the flu. So my voice is, I'm not sure if everyone can hear me from the back. I'm going to do my best to try and speak up. But yeah, we'll see. So first of all, let me just start and set up the stage because I'm not sure if everyone here is aware of what a Dragon Quest Pass race is. Dragon Quest is a game that was released in 1986 in Japan for the Family Computer. This is a console that does not have a save function built in. In this game, you walk around the world fighting monsters to level up your character until you become strong enough to save the world. And to save, you have to go back to the initial area in the game, speak to the king who will give you a spell of resurrection, or Fukatsu no Jumon, which is a bunch of gibberish, basically random Japanese hiragana characters, 20 of them in the first game. Of course, you'll write those characters in your trusty notebook, and when you come back to the game at the later time, you come into the save, the load screen, and you will enter your pass race back into the game to restore your save. Of course, that's if everything goes well, but, well, sometimes things go wrong, and you may encounter this screen, which is where the password is wrong. Either you wrote it wrong, or you just entered it wrong on the load screen, and it won't let you save or load your game again. So in this case, this happened to me. This happened to millions of Japanese children back in the day, unfortunately. So, so it happened to me a couple times, and I thought, well, surely there has to be a way that we can analyze this wrong passphrase and be able to restore it, to substitute the characters and find out where it was transcribed wrong. And thankfully, yes, it is possible, and I managed to do it, and I'll show you. So first of all, we have to see what makes up this passphrase, how is it constructed, and how do we decode it. So this is these passphrases are composed, like I said, of 20 hiragana characters. There are 120 bits of data here. They are encoded into 6-bit characters. It's a subset of the alphabet in Japanese. It contains information like the player's name, stats, the inventory, some event flags. There's a 3-bit encryption key that's just a randomizer, and there's an 8-bit checksum, which is helpful for restoring the correct values. I'm not going to go too deep into the actual technical details of decoding since it's a little bit convoluted and we don't have a lot of time, but we would first convert those characters into their indices as seen in this table. Then taking those bytes, those encrypted bytes, these have to be decrypted in this algorithm that you see here, so you can see that I'm doing some very serious work because there's a lot of complicated Rust code on this page. Once those byte values are decrypted, they can be repacked into bytes and yield the decrypted and decoded spell. And this is how. This is where the checksum can be checked to compare it to the remainder of the byte sequence that you get in the output. Once everything is decrypted and decoded, this is how basically the values of that are saved in the game are laid out. And as you can see, it's not like you have sequentially for the player name and then the player inventory, et cetera, et cetera. All those values are kind of broken up into individual bytes or even a few bits at a time, and then they are kind of spread out all over the sequence, which is also helpful because it means that if there's an error in a character in the middle of the sequence, it's going to affect many different pieces of data. So it makes it easier to tell what the correct sequence is. So now to correct an error in the passphrase, the way that we operate is that we take the errored passphrase, that the one that doesn't go through, substitute every single character with every other possible character that could go in its place. Then we try to decrypt and decode it, and if the checksum matches, then it is a valid passphrase, and it will become a candidate that we can list out to the user. This is what it looks like without any restrictions. I just took like a random passphrase that I found online, substituted one character, and I passed it through to my program. And here you can see that there are two possible substitutions of characters that yield valid passphrases. And there's a few differences. Well, obviously, this is all in Japanese, so I'm sure that it's going to be hard to understand. But there's a few differences here in the equipment and also in the player name that can be used to identify which one is the correct one. It's, in fact, the top one. Not that this matters here. But yeah, so it could be the number of valid substitutions is not typically high, but it can range from 1 to, you know, 6 or something. And then, unfortunately, they didn't stop here. In 1987, Dragon Quest II came out. It also did not come with a save function. And unfortunately, it's not just a little bit larger than Dragon Quest I. It's about 3 times larger. It has 3 player characters. It has more variable game state. It has a larger alphabet, so more characters that you can use for encoding. And that means that passwords are 52 characters long, which is very annoying to type in, and also much more annoying to transcribe in your little notebook. And it makes you much more likely to make mistakes. So it's also a little bit more convoluted the way that it's the data is encoded. You can have bits that are or aren't added like in the middle of the stream, depending on whether or not your inventory is full. Very, very strange stuff. Thankfully, it was documented in this, the basic, the issue of June 1987. I don't have this issue, but I managed to find some information based on that magazine online. So this is how I was able to do the decoding and decryption portion of my program for Dragon Quest II. Now, and because there's so many more characters, there's also more possible substitutions, and that means the number of valid passphrases that can be corrected from the errored one is also larger. So we have to find a way to restrict the result set that we have. One easy way to do this is we know what the player's name is going to be, so you can just pass it into the program, and whenever the player name is decoded, if it's not the right one, then we can just eliminate that result from the pool. There's also some other kind of easy to remember properties, like some event flags that can be set, so just to make sure that, you know, obviously wrong passphrases are not included. And then we can also filter some substitutions that yield invalid values. So for example, you have some 16-bit values like your gold or experience that in fact in-game the, you know, logical maximum is below the limit of 16-bit value. So we can easily tell that if we are between like 10,000 and 16,000, then it's not going to be an actual valid passphrase unless the player cheated. So those are some ways that we can limit the number of results that we have. And this is one example. This is another passphrase which looks like it might, you know, be bullshit, but it's a real one. It works. And so I took that and I did replace a random character and I fixed the name in the input arguments. And there's only one valid substitution, which is the correct one, of course. So that's an example of how to use this program, which is called Rejumon. And if you want to take a look at the source code, if you want to play Dragon Quest 1 or 2 in Japanese for the family computer someday and you're worried, you don't have to be worried about, you know, mistranscriptions anymore. You can be protected by Rejumon here. So thank you very much.